Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast, as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
We're in a series on the God of Miracles. We're coming at it from a lot of different angles. And the reason I'm wanting us to come at the subject of miracles from so many different ways and directions is I don't want for any of us in this room to fall into a few common lies. Common lie number one might be, God maybe does miracles still, but it's for the other guy, not for you. I don't want you to believe that because that's a lie. God will do miracles for you. Second, miracles are only these three things. A supernatural healing, you know, some crazy supernatural finance story, and some dude gets raised from the dead. I don't know, I haven't seen that one yet, but I'd like to. And so I don't want us trapped in a box where we think that the only types of miracles are like the level 10, unbelievable, never, couldn't even believe this thing happened. I want us engaging the God of miracles in our day-to-day. I want us believing God for miracles. But miracles, I don't mean whatever the other thing is. I mean miraculous, it's impossible, that can't happen. God had to do something. Had God not done the thing that God did, the thing wouldn't have happened. Miracles, okay? I want us engaging in those. Today's session is session 16 in this series, God of Miracles, entitled Walking in Supernatural Love. Now, I want to talk about not love. I want to talk about supernatural love. I want to talk about a difference. I want to get us thinking about that word love a little bit differently than maybe we have before. I don't want, today isn't a get with it sermon. Like, you guys aren't being loving, be loving. That's not what today is. Today is engage the God of love to get more of something you don't have from him so that you can operate in something you don't have in yourself. Operate in something in greater abundance in a way that's impossible for you to be able to flow in something that's beyond yourself. Now that's what a miracle is. Flowing in something that's beyond yourself from the Father. The God quality of love. We're talking about the subject of God's love, and again, we're going to get to miracles. I promise this is a related idea. We're talking about the subject of God's love. We're talking about a love of a completely different order. We're talking about a substance that is very different than every other thing that we know in every other form of love. It's higher. It's better. God's love, at least as it relates to us, starts like this. Get ready for how the love story starts, at least for us. You were wicked, and you hated God. And God said, I like that one. I like their attitude. Let's get that one. You were a horrible human being. And God said, oh, I like them. That's great. I want that one. Why would you want that mess? Because God's love is of a different sort. It's of a different order. It is not what you and I think and know and see. What we know and see related to love is merely a shadow of true love. It started like this, Romans 5:8. God demonstrated his own love for us with this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners. While we had nothing to bring to the table. We just so often don't think that way. I am going to go after something that has absolutely no way to bless me back. I'm gonna go after something that is totally unworthy. I'm going to give my best. Not I'm going to give $5. I'm going to give $5 million. I'm going to go take out a loan for $5 million and give $5 million to this thing that hates me. The heck is that? This is a completely different order of love and is the foundation of our relationship with God. It's not just the foundation of our relationship. It's the foundation of his nature and of his character. We know the word. God is love. 1 John 4:7 and then also 4:16. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. It comes from him. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. God is love. He is it. Before there was anything else, remember, God made everything. Anything that's ever been invented, he invented it. He came up with it. He's the creator of all things. There was nothing, and then all of a sudden, there was a big something called the universe. He made it. He also allowed love to flow out of him because he is love. 4:16 says, God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. God is love. I want us to think about that for a second. Let's go back before there were humans. God was still very much in existence before there was humanity, okay? Before there's humanity and any expression of people loving each other in any form or fashion, before all that, God is the essence and identity and reality of love. So anything that's going to be an expression of love that's ever going to happen is just going to be a whisper of who he is and what he's all about. His very essence, core, and nature is love. That's who he is. Romans 5:5 tells us, we, as those that he expressed his love to, we have had that love, the essence of love, the reality, the purest form. We've had it poured into us. Romans 5:5, God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. We gave our lives to Jesus, and if you haven't done that yet, quit holding out. Give your life to Jesus right now. Stop listening to me and talk to Jesus. Give your life to Jesus right now. You can do it. It's very simple. You say, God, I give myself to you. I'm going to stop fighting you. You can have my life. I repent of my sins and I receive your forgiveness. And boom, you can begin a relationship with God right now. For those of us who have made that decision, the Holy Spirit came and dwells in us. You could say instead of dwell, you could say God poured into us. Pretend you got a big old cup or a bowl inside your soul. The Holy Spirit got poured into it when you gave your life to Christ. But it's not just that he got poured in, love got poured in. God's love has been poured into our hearts. God is love. God pours himself into our hearts, which now means we have something in us that we can either tap into or choose not to, but we have something in us that is not of ourselves. Now, this is great. This is really good news because there is so much about me as a person that is not loving, it's not kind, it's not friendly, it's not a long list of things. But if I can figure out how to tap into what has been poured into me, I can do things that are impossible for me. I can overcome in ways that are impossible. I can say things, I can love in ways that are impossible for me. That we're talking about miracles now. I'm not talking about, are you good at this? Are you naturally kind? Are you... Forget all of that. Let's say you're still a horrible human being. If God's love lives in you, you have access to love. You have access to the living God within who is love. And now you can do things you couldn't do before. In previous sessions, we've been talking about miracles in a lot of different ways. And a miracle, you can't do a miracle. Who are you? All you can do is lean into the God of miracles and watch him do something supernatural in your life. You can do that. Same way with this subject of love. And then he tells us to love. This is now where the rubber meets the road here. 1 John 4:11 through 13. And then also 1 John 4:21. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. If we love one another, God abides in us. By this, we know that we abide in him and he in us. Our love for one another. A flow of love for one another, but a flow of love that's not based on how awesome you are at loving people. Did you catch that? It was all about if he's poured out his love into us, if he's given us his love, if we're abiding in his love, then we're actually going to be able to love supernaturally out of a love that's not manifest from ourselves. We don't have to stir it up and like, you know, it doesn't have to just be us trying to do real good. There's a way to tap into that love. Just like you can't heal a person. The Holy Spirit can heal a person through you. You can't love somebody with a supernatural love just because you're in a good mood. It takes the Holy Spirit, but it's a miracle we can press in for. He's given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother. You know, it's so fun to me. The very subject that God is love, now it makes sense to me that the first commandment is love God, and the second commandment is love people. You know the verse, Matthew 22, 37 through 40, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. How could we love God and how could we love people unless we had something from God that enabled us to be able to do that? We do. His love has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. We have access to something. Now listen, really part of this for me today is a revelation that we have no excuse. Because it's not about you. It's not about you and how nice you are, how smart you are, how much Bible you know. It's about how submitted you are to Mr. Love. How submitted you are to the love that God says he's poured into you and asking him to flow out of you, to do miracles through you. Second Thessalonians 3:5 says, may the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and into Christ's perseverance. Direct your hearts. Now, here's how I take that. This is Paul talking to the church at Thessalonica, bunch of people out there, okay? He's talking to all of them, and he says, hey, you know that love that's been poured into your hearts? I'm going to now pray that the Lord would direct you in that love on what to do, when to do it, what to say, how to do it. But it's not your love, it's God's love. I want to pray God directs you in God's love. That God has put something in you that is not of you, and he's now going to direct you how to use that to accomplish things you couldn't accomplish on your own. See, I want to do miracles. I want to do miracles. And I'll tell you what, there are opportunities to do miracles with this supernatural power of love every day. Every day, at the gas station, in traffic. I mean, there are opportunities to use this super and to think of it supernaturally instead of, oh, that's what Christians are supposed to do. It's our duty. It's our job. We're supposed to. Instead of looking at it that way going, let's do a miracle right now. Let me tell you when the best time to do a miracle is. When you're ticked. You're so mad. You're the maddest. Yeah, Lord, give me supernatural love right now, because right now I feel supernatural something else. I feel a supernatural war raising up within me. Lord, do something well beyond myself. Do something that's not me, that's not Brad. Give me something so that I have something to give this situation. Give me love that is not me, because I know right now if I did anything that I have the ability to do, it would be bad, bad, and worse, and maybe go to jail bad. Okay? I need you to give me something that I don't have, something beyond myself. Friends, I want to tell you, you can live this way. You can have power to love when all you feel is hate. You can have power to love when all you feel is anger, when all you feel is emptiness. Maybe it's not anger for you. Maybe it's emptiness. You're like, I don't have anything to give. When did this become about you? I don't have anything to give. Who cares? I really don't want what you would give me anyway. But it's really cool. No, it's really not cool. It's really exactly like what I would give you. It's really uncool. It's really uncool. I don't want what you can give me. I want what he can give me through you. That's going to be good. And if we can learn to lean that way, it doesn't matter how broken you are or mad or dumb. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, because you're leaning into Mr. Perfect. You're leaning into love. You're leaning into the one who has the ability to love in that situation where you feel so broken. To love that person that you feel like just couldn't be loved. To love in that situation where you're like, I'm done. I'm a week past done. I am double done. God says, well, good. Now you can let me do. Let me in there and stop making it about you, your capacities, what you're able to pull off. Lean into me. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge me. Don't lean on yourself. We stop up the miracle line because we lean on ourselves so much. I know this. I have strength to do this. I have bandwidth to do this. I have relationships to do this. I have money to do this. And so then we have no need of God. Let's go the other direction. I'm broke and broken and in need of God. That's a person that's going to experience miracles. I want to be that person. I want to be that person in the conversation with you where you're saying stuff and I don't understand what you're talking about. Where you're asking me for stuff I don't have. Where you're needing something that's well beyond what I can get. I go, God, give me something from heaven, because I got nothing to give this human. That's where we can live this way. This is a good thing. This is exciting. Loving all the saints. This one is so challenging. I don't want to look at this as a get with it set of verses. I want to look at this as potential of what could be for you. Look what Paul says about Ephesus, about Colossians, and about the Thessalonians. Look what he says. Ephesians 1:15. I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people. I heard you love all Christians. Do we need that in this hour right now or what? To love all God's people. Well, he didn't just say it to Ephesus. It wasn't a fluke. You go over to the Colossians. He says this. We heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love you have for all God's people. A whole church that loves all God's people. And there's some, you know, what, 50, 100 miles. I don't know how the distance is between Colossae and Ephesus. But whatever the distance is, there's another church down the road, and they love all God's people. And now the Colossians, they love all God's people. Oh, but the Thessalonians, they're in the same boat. Thessalonica. You do love all of God's family throughout Macedonia. Yet we urge you, brothers and sisters, do it even more. Do so more and more. We've heard you are epic at loving all God's people. Awesome. Go deeper because there's no end to how deep this thing goes. There is no extent to the end of the love of Christ. There's no end to it. So whatever you got, you can get more and more and more. Now, just think about this for a second with me. Just like, let me just get real for a minute. When you feel angry, you're not a lot of fun. When you feel angry, you don't even like being with yourself. When you feel angry, you're just like, I'm going to take a nap and hope that this is gone by the time I wake up. When you feel angry, you are not enjoying life. Well, anger doesn't come from the Lord in the day-to-day, and we're angry at people, we're angry at situations. That's like our own frustrations and even the enemy sprucing some things up in our soul. So when we give in to anger, we're actually like participating with the enemy camp. But now go the other direction. How awesome does it feel when you feel the love of God coursing through your veins? In that moment, and a lot of times you have to do you find yourself in a selfless act. You find yourself actually pouring out in a way that your flesh wouldn't maybe normally like, that as you do it, you're feeling God, and now all of a sudden you're in a good mood. And people want to be around you. And you like yourself. You're like, this is great. I love this. Guys, we can live like that as the normal instead of as the, you know, every now and then, the sprinkling on of life. We can live in that flow, but it does take that submission to the Holy Spirit, asking for God to move in us in love in powerful ways. I want to be like this. I want you to be like this. Listen, if I was like this all the time and you were like this all the time, who wouldn't want to be at this church? Who wouldn't? I mean, it would be a place that everybody would want to be. We would have a reputation. We've heard you love people so stinking well. In fact, it's so abnormal, it can't even be you. It's got to actually be of another order, of another sort. You are operating in a love that is unusual. I want that for us as a congregation for the sake of the kingdom. But selfishly, I want that because that sounds like a really fun place to be. That sounds like a delightful environment to raise my kids in. You know, a great place to build relationships and friendships and learn and sharpen one another. I'm going to flow in that supernatural love. Ephesians tells us that there's a power related to grasping love, his love, the real love. Let's put up that verse in Ephesians 3, 17 through 19. Paul praying for Ephesus. Paul praying for Ephesus that was already operating in love. Remember? I pray that you may have power. I want you to have power. That's what this whole series is about, power. We're praying for power. Supernatural power from heaven. What does this power get us? Raise the dead? What is this? Does this power get us the ability to fly? What does this power give us? I pray that you would have power to grasp. That you would have power to grasp, to lay hold of, to understand, to enter into fullness, for you to connect to. I pray that you would have power. Power to grasp, to lay hold of. Power to lay hold of. How wide, long, high, and deep is Christ's love. The love of Christ. I pray that God would give you power so that you can grasp how big his love is, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Let me give you the short version. You can't experience the fullness of God in your life without operating in the power of grasping his love. Grasping. Think about grabbing. I'll change it. Grabbing his love. The power to grab God's love. You can't enter into the fullness that God has for your life unless you figure out, unless you enter into the secret power, if you will, of grasping the love of God. How wide, deep, high, and long is the love of Christ? This to me seems like this ought to be something we go after. Because if we can grasp it, we enter into fullness. If we can grasp it, we have good days. I mean, if we can grasp his love, not your love. I don't want your love. I love you. I don't want that. I want his love through you, and it's different. It's supernatural. You being nice to me, it's cool. Him speaking to me, touching me, loving me, encouraging me through you, infinitely better. Infinitely better. I get touched, you get touched. It's genuine, it's authentic, but it requires a reach that's different than just doing the right thing. It's supernatural. That's why Paul said, I pray you'd have power to be able to pull it off. I pray that you would have power to be able to lay hold of it. Power, because it's going to take that. I love feeling God. I love it. I love feeling his love. I love singing about it, hearing it, teaching on it, being taught. I love seeing it express the love of God. It's so good. It changes life. It's like, why are we wasting our time on so much else? Like, I love it. And it's accessible to us. But we do have to press in to experience it because it's not default. Or why would Paul say, I pray that you would have power? Well, I'm saved. Don't I have all that I need? Yeah. But you got to figure out how to grasp it. And just because it's there doesn't mean you're doing anything with your hands. You could be having your own hands behind your back and not grasping anything. It does take some pressing in, as does any miracle. It takes some pressing in, but then when you see a miracle, it's so different than the rest of your day. When the miracle moment happens, you go, that was marked. That moment had a little bit of the sauce on it. There was something about it that was sweet, that was Jesus in a profound way. I want Jesus moments, and I want you to have them too. We got to start asking God for these kinds of miracles. We got to start asking him for it. You don't have, great place to be, ask God. You don't have, because you don't ask. Isn't that what James says? So you don't have the wisdom, you don't have the patience, you don't have the relational bandwidth, you don't have, pick it, whatever it is you don't have. He's a God of miracles. God, give me supernatural love that I might be able to excel in this situation instead of break even, instead of make do, instead of get through it and be all frustrated. Give me love from God. Give me the kind of love for this situation, for this person that you had for me while I was a lost God hater. You are love. Give me some of that. That I might be able to flow in something abnormal. I've got some stories. I'm going to tell a few of them where I've seen God do this through me. I've felt it. I've been in an experience where it's like, man, I can't believe. And I knew it was God. I knew it wasn't me because I know where my limitations are. Don't you all know your limitations? I bet you do by now. Figured out where the end of your line is. Like, well, there ain't no more left. So if we get to that point, we're done. It's bedtime. I'm out of words. I'm out of love. We're done. Well, God says, but I'm still awake and I got infinite capacity. See, we can enter into supernatural reality. We can go way beyond our ability and capacities. We celebrate Moses' victories. Moses didn't do nothing. He lifted a stick. Do we understand that? He lifted a stick. I can lift a stick. We talk about Moses parted the Red Sea. God parted the Red Sea. Did the craziest miracle. What did Moses do? He's just there and stuck a stick in the air. That's all you need to do, stick a stick in the air. It just happened to be the right stick at the right time, and it's got to be a stick instead of this or that. Follow the Lord. But guys, I'm not talking about what you can do. I'm talking about what you can't do that God can do. Because he's willing, he's even poured that love into our hearts. I want to just give you some practicals and then I'll give you some stories. We can't. There's so much that we can't do and we weren't intended to. It's good to know where your limitations are. That's good. That's healthy. But the extent of your life isn't supposed to be what you can build with your limitations. You're supposed to do things you can't do. Just think about Moses as a kid. Never imagined he was going to part a Red Sea with a stick. I mean, he never thought that was coming. You're supposed to be empowered by the Holy Spirit to accomplish things you can't possibly pull off. Things that are totally impossible. That's what we're talking about in the realm of love here. In our relationships is what it really comes down to. We can reach always. I just want to tell you this. Any moment, any day, any situation, any measure of brokenness, you can reach for God's love right then. No, this one's too hard. That's a lie from the enemy. I'm too weak. Lie from the enemy. I can't. Lie from the enemy. It wasn't about you. All that was I talk. I, me, my, I. Forget you. It's about him. What could he do through you? Oh, he could change your day. He could change their life. He could change their destiny. He could change your perspective. He could wind up turning an enemy into a friend. He could wind, hey, there's nothing he can't do. He can. We can't? That's okay. He can. He can always. You can always reach for love. I want to leave you with that one. I want that one to mark in you. You can always reach for love. Any situation. And it's your choice. And our default is to throw away love. Our default is not reach for it because God might ask us to do something we don't want to do. Because a lot of times when we are going to be used by the Lord, he asks us to partner with him. You just imagine, I'm just thinking about the Moses thing. It's like, you want me to put the stick in the air? Everybody's going to think I'm weird. I didn't put deodorant on this morning. I got all kinds of reasons why I don't want to put that stick in the air. And the Lord's like, put the stick in the air. Just the air. And then boom, the sea's parted. I want to tell you, in any situation, think of the one right now that you're like, it wouldn't work in that one. Oh, yes, it would. Oh, yes, love would work in that situation. Yes, it would. But you do have to reach for it. We can have power to love tough ones. I love this about God. We're all created different. He actually created different personality types that they would annoy one another. We're not all the same. We're different. Being annoyed by other people is so incredibly good for our soul so that we can practice love, because you don't got to practice love when everything's already hunky-dory. Everything's working. Everybody's good. I like you. You like me. We're all good. Everything's good. It's fun. You don't got to practice nothing. You don't need any miracles. But when you run into people that are unlovable, that annoy you, that are super needy, that's when you have the opportunity to operate in something outside of yourself. We can have power to love in our marriage. In all our relationships. But in our marriages, it's kind of funny because they never go away. They're just, they're there all the time. And then the children, and then they're all the time. We can have power to love in our relationships. In that moment, we're so at the end of ourselves. Perfect. Have the revelation. Father, I'm at the end of myself. Give me now access to your supernatural capacities. Give me your supernatural love, your ability to love. We can even have power to love our enemies. This one blows my mind, but it's so like God. He asked us to do it this way. Jesus said it, Luke 6:27. I skipped a few verses in there. Luke 6:27-31. I tell you who hear me, love your enemies. Your enemies, the people that want to kill you, they would like to chop off your head. Love them. Love them. Do good to those that hate you. Not kind of dislike, not like said something snarky on Instagram. They hate you. Do good things for them. These are impossible asks. These are not possible. You can't do this. God could, but you couldn't. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. Really? Do even to these enemies. Even do to others, any other, including the enemies. Do to them what you wish they were doing to you. This is crazy. These are big asks. And God can't ask us to do something that then he wouldn't empower us to be able to pull off And I don't mean skate by pull off. I mean pull off, level 10 victory pull off. He asks us to love our enemies, not because you have the ability to do that, but because he does and he's proven it. Because the way we got into this thing was he loved you and you were his enemy. He let you in. He says, oh, I am really, really good at this. In fact, maybe he's the best. Like, maybe his love is actually expressed the best and the most and the loudest and the clearest and the most overt when he finds someone that really, really hates him. He's like, oh, I got this. I totally know how to deal with this. You're filled with hate that comes from the enemy. I'm filled with love that comes from me. I'm going to give you some of me, and we're going to be the antidote to that problem. When we love our enemies, we get to express and feel and flow in the supernatural love of God that is profound. It's game-changing. But again, I don't think we have that in us, in ourselves, in our humanity. But we do have access to love, and we can actually do these things. Share some stories. These are just some victory stories in my life. And, you know, I'm not going to give all the details of these. I'm just going to kind of give some broad strokes. But I think the way I'm going to tell these stories, you'll be able to relate to some things and people and situations in your lives. And that's really what I want out of this mostly isn't to give you the coolest story. I want to encourage you, exhort you, and equip you to be able to do these things tomorrow, okay? Loving someone who annoyed me dearly. The way that I just am wired and the way that I was just growing up, my personality, the way that the Lord made me. And you are all this way just in a different bend. In fact, I'm the person that annoys you, okay? But I've just got certain personalities, certain personality types, certain areas of weakness just in my deep, you know, carnal self annoy the heck out of me. And the Lord brought somebody into my life a number of years ago, and they were probably the most annoying person I had ever met. And I felt like the Lord said, I brought them into your life, learn to love. And I was like, you know, it'd really just be a lot easier to let somebody else love this person that's better at loving this personality type or loving this individual. I was like, Lord, wouldn't that really make more sense? Wouldn't they be better at it? Well, yeah, but then you wouldn't grow. I see. And so I decided, okay, I don't think in and of myself that I can love this person. Because whenever I'm around them, whenever they're saying stuff, whenever they're doing stuff, I'm just thinking about how annoyed I am. And I'm just trying to be really real. And y'all are all snickering, but you know who I'm talking about in your life. I mean, you all got that person, okay? And I was like, what am I going to do? And I just felt the Lord just challenging me. So this is a person that it's impossible to love. Like you're just done. You're just going to give up. And I had to go on this journey. Lord, I need you to help me love this person. And I started praying it. Help me to love this person. Help me to help this person. Help me to encourage this person. Help me, help me, help me. And I started pouring my heart out as best as I could. And I started to feel the love of the Lord. Little moments. It would first show up in little moments. I'd be in a conversation where a week ago, all I could think about was how annoyed I was. But now I've got a week's worth of praying. God, give me supernatural love for this person. I may not have been using the word supernatural, but that's what I was asking for. Give me love for this person. Give me love for this person. I'm a weekend. And now all of a sudden I'm in that interaction and I feel the Lord give me something to be able to help them. And I say it, and then they're happy, and they're like excited that I gave them the thing. And I was like, well, I just ministered. I didn't think I could ever do that because really, I just wanted to punch this person. I can't believe I just felt the love of God flow through me and help this person. I want to tell you this. In a few short years, this person became one of the dearest people in my life to me. I love this guy so deeply. And you know what? His personality didn't change. I did. God's love was transforming me on the inside. And I was able to love this person, I mean, deeply, dearly, no pretense. I went from not wanting to be around this person for 5 minutes to being able to spend lots of time and enjoy it and want more. Now that's transforming power. See, that's supernatural. You have relationships you're running from that God could actually turn into one of the sweetest things. And actually, those points of conflict, if you'll work through those things, the Lord could actually redeem that and make that one of the sweetest relationships in your whole life. That's powerful to me. It's more powerful to me, honestly, that I could go from being so annoyed with a person to being so in love with that person. That's more miraculous to me than a healing. If I can be real honest, healing comes and goes, I don't even remember it, but I'll never forget what God did in that relationship. I'll never forget it. Somebody else, somebody who was so angry and so mean. They were just filled with anger. And they would express that anger all the time, and they would express it at me a lot. They were mean. They're just a meanie. And I felt the Lord just once again, like, this is somebody you need to love. And at that point, I already had one or two of these under my belt where I was like, oh, I know how this works. Like, God's going to do something. And I started to be intentional. God, give me the grace to love this person. I don't mean just help me get through the situations or let this time pass. Or I don't mean that. I mean, help me genuinely feel affection for this person that is frequently very not nice to me. Help me to love them, even though they're mean. Even if they don't change, help me to love them. And I felt as time went on, I felt the Lord softening my heart. And the Lord began to give me little things to be able to give to this person. It started to bond us together. And over the course of time, all that meanness went away. They became one of the most humble, God-loving, God-fearing people. Such a dear person to me. That I started off like, God, I don't know how you love this person because they're really not that lovable. They're just angry and mad. And I can almost hear the Lord like you? Touche, Father, touche. Became one of the most dear people to me. But it wasn't me. I'm not talking about what you can pull off. You get to the end of yourself and that's all you've got. But there's no end to what he can do. There's no end to his love. How great is it that, like, I didn't have to be, like aching anymore to be in the room with those people. Instead, I was longing to be in the room. I was enjoying those relationships. Instead of like, oh, I just got to get through this so I can get past this thing, past this person. But become dear, dear people to me. I love that. Okay, I got another one. You know that whole love your enemy thing? It was a few years ago, sometime back. And there was somebody that was very close to me that started to make some really crazy accusations against me that I knew weren't true, but man, they were convinced. And they were making some loud accusations. And if somebody's just coming to you in private and saying, hey, I think you've got this issue in your life, you want to do your best to like, listen, work all that out. But when somebody's like out in public going, you're this and you're that and telling everybody, it's a little tougher. You try to reconcile, you try to do everything you can. Here's what I found. I found that even though this person was accusing me with all kinds of people, with all my friends, and was really stirring up a hornet's nest and really causing a great problem, I found throughout the whole process, my heart never stopped genuinely loving this person. Because I recognized as soon as the accusations started coming, oh boy, this is about to get hot. And I changed my posture. I said, God, give me love and forgiveness no matter what they do. Fill me with your love. Fill me with your forgiveness. Fill me with desire to love you and to love this person no matter what they say or what they do. And throughout the whole process, even after it was all over, it was a mess. It was not awesome. In the natural, it was not awesome. Throughout the whole process, I felt my heart genuinely loving this person that had accused me, that had hated me, that had caused me problems. I felt nothing but love. And I got to the end of it. I was like, this is awesome. This is very different than other situations. I got through this. And I'm not mad at them. I have no ill thought in my heart. I love this person dearly. You can have that power. And it's way better than the alternative. Think of the alternative. Someone accuses you. They're right. They're wrong. It really doesn't matter either way. They accuse you and they cause you problems And over time, you're growing in resentment against that person and anger against that person and judgment. And you're plotting how you can subtly manipulate conversations to cause people to think poorly of that person. Ill, sickness, poison, disease, anger, resentment, hatred. It's the camp of the enemy growing inside of you. Instead of growing in love, even for a person that's accusing you, Jesus said it so clearly, bless those who curse you. Pray for those that persecute you. Love those that hate you. Do good to those that hate you. I'm telling you firsthand, you can experience that. And to me, that's better than a supernatural money story. When you can go through a situation that most would fail, but you can come through it in flying colors, not because you're cool, but because you're submitted. Submit your heart to love and ask him to fill in the gaps. I think about that crazy story of Corrie Ten Boom. If that's not a name you know, she was instrumental in so much of what was going on behind the scenes in World War II regarding saving the Jewish people, as many of them as she could. She's in a prison camp, and her sister is killed by a prison guard. They're both in this prison camp because they were trying to do God's will. They were trying to love people. They were doing everything right. They're in this prison camp, and the guard kills her sister, and she chooses to go and forgive this guard and to love this guard and to say, I forgive you for killing my sister. I love you, and God's love is bigger. How free that is. You guys, we don't have to live bound up. We have got access to supernatural love that allows us to operate like a superhuman. Like you just go like, are you a robot? How are you not mad right now? Well, I'm dealing with that anger. But the way that I'm dealing with it is not trying to dig deep within myself and muster myself up, pull myself up by my bootstraps. Instead, I'm going like a sloppy mess. Oh, Father, give me things from heaven. A supernatural miracle. Apart the Red Sea. The sea I need parted is the anger in my heart. I need love for this person. Give it to me. And he will. Doesn't that sound like a better way to live? Loving a new friend deeply and quickly. I pray for this often. I say, Lord, your word says, I don't use this language, but I'm using language from this message. Your word says that there's a way to be known for loving all of God's people. Not having a reputation of loving, truly loving. All of God's people. How many is that? 10? 11 people? 100? 1,000? 10,000? How many is all God's people? Because there's a whole church, times three, and there's actually even more, that had a reputation for loving all God's people. I want to love all God's people. God, I pray you give me the supernatural capacity to love people deeply and quickly. And I love it when it happens. I feel it happen. I feel it happen. I love you, Liz. I'm so glad you're here. I feel it deep in my soul. I am so glad you're here. The Lord can give capacity. Even when a new believer, somebody new to you, comes around, you can have the capacity to love with God's love quickly and deep. There's no time needed because it's not you doing the loving, it's God. It's knowing how to tap into it. It's knowing how to grasp. Power to grasp the love of Christ, not the love of Brad, not the love of you, to grasp the love of Christ. And when you can do that, then you can operate in deep love quickly. And it's real, it's genuine, it's not fake, it's for real. And then you get to feel God's love. Doesn't that sound way better than having to wait for like a relationship to bloom over the course of months and years? It's like, now I love you. Now I have graduated to a point of first level affection for you. Paul said, you're a church that's killer at loving everybody. It's deep in you. What about the new one that just got saved? Yep, that one too. You can have the supernatural power and then you feel it. I'm telling you, it feels awesome. It feels way better than to have a bunch of restraints that it's like, in order to love, I've got to get over this hurdle and this conversation. Forget all that. Love with God's love. What did you ever do for him? And he loved you super deep. I want to operate in that, and I'm telling you, it's accessible. Here's how we're going to end. Annie, you can come on up. Love is a choice. It's not mostly a feeling. I love the feeling. I love the feeling. I think the feeling comes after the choice. Instead of waiting for a feeling and then choosing to do it, let's choose to do it when we don't have the feeling and then expect that God's word is true and the feeling's coming. Love is a choice. It's got accompanying actions, but here's the deal. When I say love people, I don't really mean in your mind go, I'm gonna love them. I really mean identify why you can't. I can't love them. They're too different. I don't have enough time. They live too far away. I can't love them. Identify why and then say, God, now fix it, do the miracle. Break in and do the miracle. I can't. I can't do this. My bandwidth is too whatever. I'm at the end of myself, but you can. You love everybody who hates you. What the heck is that? Give me some of that. Give me some of that kind of love, that kind of capacity, and then let me walk in supernatural love all my days. You can do that. You can have it anytime you want it. But you've got to engage it, and that's not our default. Our default is I'll love when it's convenient. I'll love when I feel like it. I'll love when I feel like I've got the energy for it, when I've got this. Let's go the other way. God, I'm out. I'm done. I'm weak and I'm dumb. Give me supernatural love that I could have miracle power working in me and do what I could not do.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.